So welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is a delight to see all of you here on this stunning Sunday after Thanksgiving. I could see why people would be outside, except I was in Vancouver before this, and because my family rented a house there, and my whole car was frosted this morning, and I was led to go out and scrape it with my credit card, so it wasn't great. Anyway, so it's nice to see you all, and I just want to let you know that we try our best to be a welcoming and inclusive congregation, and you are welcome, no matter who you are, where you come from, who you love. You're welcome whether you had a great Thanksgiving or whether you just thought it was really miserable. You're welcome here if you really maintained your eating to a very small portions. And you're welcome here if you're like me, who just ate so much pie and cookies that I feel kind of sick, actually, this morning. So everyone is welcome here, no matter who you are and where you come from. So I have a few announcements this morning. If you're a visitor here, it's lovely to have you here. And we get, and this is for everyone here, we have many things that happen in this congregation that's not on Sunday morning, and you can get that information on the slideshow before church or in the e-blast that comes in your email. We also have a monthly update that tells you things that happen regularly every month. And if you're a visitor, you can fill out the forms that are in the chairs in front of your seat so you also can be on those mailing lists. We have coffee downstairs after the service, and I want to welcome those people who are online this morning, and there is a coffee hour online as well, where and there's a link in your order of service that you received this morning to join that. And a lovely person brought some soup and salad for us this morning. So after the service, if you want to eat a little bit, there is some food downstairs, as well as I saw some actually pretty delicious treats as well. So you might want to check out coffee after the service. And I think that's all my announcements. I want you all to take a moment to greet each other. But we're starting a new practice here, which actually Kira, who's with us here, suggested. We tried it when I was here before a couple weeks ago, and we're trying it today. So this today, I'm going to look at my notes. So today, when we're greeting each other, I want you to just maybe share with a couple different people how are you entering this space today? How are you feeling? Are you feeling hurried or calm? Are you feeling reflective, pessimistic, optimistic? Just kind of whatever your mood is this morning. Why don't you share that with the people as you greet each other? And you can share with two or three people. So thank you. And we will stay standing after this and go into our song, which will be This Is Our Home, led by Kira. So you may rise and greet one another.
This is our home.
We had some illness and other sorts of things this weekend. All right, I would like to invite Isaac up to light our chalice this morning. So we light this chalice, the symbol of our faith, to brighten the darkness and remind us that we have each other. We can now say our affirmation. This is our see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Hello. Is that loud enough? Okay. Good morning. My name is James Lennius. My pronouns are he, him. And I am so honored today to be invited back to the podium and to serve as your lay leader. Our first reading this morning is by Elena Westbrook. In a world ravaged by violence, by hatred, by conflicts that seem eternal and insoluble, sometimes the only thing we can do is be still for a moment to remind ourselves what is real. The sun that rose this morning, the dirt under our feet, the air whispering in and out of our lungs. This hour, try just to be present in each moment as it unfolds. Your simple attention is what makes those moments holy. Please rise as you are willing and able to sing Spirit of Life.
Spirit of life, come unto me, sing in my heart for the spirit of compassion. Blow with the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, like the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
So I would like to invite any children who would like to come forward for our story this morning. Our story this morning is called The Gift of Nothing by Patrick McDonnell. It was a special day, and Mooch wanted to give his best friend Earl a gift. But what to get him? Where do you guys want to sit? You want to sit right here? And look at the screen? You can see the pictures. He had a bowl. He had a bed. He had a chew toy. He had it all, Mooch thought and thought. What do you get someone who has everything? Nothing. He would give Earl the gift of nothing. But in this world, okay, there I am. But in this world filled with so many somethings, where could he find nothing? Mooch often heard Frank say, there was nothing on TV. But as far as Mooch could tell, there was always something on TV. Mooch often heard Doozy say, there, and her friends say there was nothing to do. But as far as Mooch could tell, there was everybody was always doing something. Millie came home from the store and said there was nothing to buy, so Mooch went shopping. Mooch looked up and down every aisle. He found many, many somethings. The latest this, the newest that. But as far as he could tell, nothing was for sale. So Mooch went home. It was not for sale. That's really what it must have said. But that's not what my notes say. Okay. But nothing was not for sale. So Mooch went home. And he sat on his pillow and stayed still, as cats often do. And not for looking it, and not looking for it, he found nothing. And so he went and got a box and put nothing in it. Then Mooch thought, maybe Earl deserves more than this. So he got a bigger box. Now that's plenty of nothing. For me, said Earl. Mooch, you didn't have to give me anything. Who told him, thought Mooch. Earl opened Mooch's gift. There's nothing here, said Earl. Yeah, said Mooch, nothing. But me and you. So Mooch and Earl stayed still and enjoyed nothing and everything. And that is the end of our story. And we can sing our children to their classes. Here, I'll show you what to do. You guys want to see? We can walk.
Look as you go, as you go.
Welcome back. This is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on the gifts that we have received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit of family and community, to consider what it is that we have given and what it is that we are grateful for. During the musical interlude, please consider the gifts you have to offer our WOOF community. Whether it be financial support or the special gift of your time or talent, know that we are grateful for your offering. If the host would please come forward. Thank you. Thank you so much for your offering. Please join me in our affirmation of gratitude. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Thank you.
There is so much joy in this world, so much abundance, so much sunshine, so many people, so much community. And it's often time that we want to celebrate the joy and wonders of life. But there is also so much suffering in this world, so much pain and loss and oppression and struggle. And in this community, we want to hold all of that pain and struggle in people's lives. And so during our service, we have an opportunity to drop stones in the water as a representation of the joys and sorrows that we hold in our hearts. And the water in the container holds those joys and the sorrows the way that we hope to in this community here at WOOF. And so I would like to invite people to come forward as they would like and walk down this aisle and come down this way, drop your stones, and I will have the mic. And if you just have maybe one sentence that you would like to share about your joy and sorrow, you're welcome to. You're also welcome to just set the stone in silence. And so we welcome you. It is now time for meditation, reflection, or prayer, as is your particular tradition. And this morning I offer the Prayer for Presence by Steve Garnas Holmes. Loving One, free me from my self-enclosure to trust I am fully loved and heard so I can love and hear others. Help me to be fully present, to be aware of myself, my reactions, my wounds and fears and filters, and to mindfully, lightly hold them aside so I can be fully present for others, truly listening, opening a space in me for them to be safe, to be true, to be free. May I be a spacious and welcoming presence to offer people the precious gift of being heard, being seen, being witnessed. We will now have some silence. We will come out of our meditation with, we begin and get again in love. And I will each time have some words, and your response will be, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible, we forgive ourselves and each other, and we begin again in love. For each time we have struck out in anger without just cause,
we forgive ourselves
and each other, give love,
we begin again in love.
For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For failing short of the admonitions of the Spirit,
we forgive ourselves and each other.
We for losing sight of our unity.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For those, and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
Our next reading is by Thich Nhat Hanh, which is the Vietnamese pronunciation. Or you may have heard it pronounced in the U.S. as Thich Nhat Hanh, and it goes like this. When you love someone, the best thing you can offer is your presence. How can you love if you are not there? The most precious gift we can offer others is our presence. When mindfulness embraces those we love, they will bloom like flowers. And I'd like to invite everyone to offer their presence to Kira, who's going to share the song, It Doesn't Cost Very Much.
Thank you, Kira. Am I plugged in? Yeah. So, streaming services have finally figured out how to get commercials back into our lives. Since I am unwilling or unable to pay the much higher prices for streaming without commercials, after a many, many year break, commercials are again part of my life. These days, the airways are flooded with the holiday commercials, full of those perfect family moments, with lots of children and grandparents, laughter and warmth, belonging and connection, which is forever the true dream of Christmas. I saw an ad for a French telecom company that is a few years old now. A young father dances in front of the Christmas tree for his preschool son, who dances back just a tiny bit, And then it moves through the ages, and there's a picture of the father dancing as he's driving the car, and his teenagers are kind of looking at him with some kind of boredom and scorn. And then he's dancing again in front of his adult son, who just frankly glowers at him. In the final scene, the father and mother are alone in front of the Christmas tree. They are very, very old at this point. And one of the presents under the tree starts to ring. The father opens the package. It's a smartphone. And on the video is his son holding his preschooler. He then dances the dance that his father always danced for him. It is so heartfelt, so deep with connection, so beautiful that I cried. Our theme this month is presence, the act of being present. In the 1920s, the theologian Martin Buber wrote a pivotal theological treatise called The I-Thou. He says that in the I-Thou relationship, we engage whole person to whole person. We are not bits of ourselves to be categorized and dealt with. Woman, mother, man, engineer, teacher, dark-skinned, light-skinned, old, young, sick, healthy, trans, cis, a Trump voter, a Harris voter, a non-voter. But whole complicated beings with our own temperaments, experiences, perspectives, likes and dislikes. In an I-thou relationship, we are open to the whole person. According to Buber, once we categorize people and make up ideas about those categories, the relationship becomes an I-it relationship. The person becomes an object, like a cashier, who only serves as a transactional being. Or a particular identity with a particular expected way of being also is an I-it relationship, like a Trump voter or a person with a particular culture. In these sorts of relationships, it is easy to dismiss people or dislike them. We can have I-thou or I-it relationships with people that we do know and people we don't know. Once we engage, though, with a whole person in all their glory and flaws, we relate soul to soul. And the relationship becomes an I-thou relationship. Buber called the space between people in an I-thou relationship presence. That space is meaningful and creates feelings of love and belonging. Buber argued that it was I-thou relationships that nourished and allowed us to transform. Decades after Buber wrote, we have learned through neuroscience that this is true. When we feel safe within a relationship, it allows our brains to become plastic, and we are able to change our old patterns to new patterns. When we are stressed, shamed or dismissed, our brains harden into the same old patterns we've always used. It is this time of year that many of us crave those I-thou relationships. We want to be seen. We want to be loved. We want to know we belong, especially in our families, but in all of our social networks. If our connections with families and friends are broken or non-existent, this time of year can be painful. We can become cynics or apathetic about the whole entire thing. In a recent survey, a third of Americans say presents or gift giving for them represent this kind of love. This year, Walmart's holiday commercial emphasizes this deep desire for gifts that show love through being seen. Within each Walmart box is a gift that brings laughter and joy to the people opening them. And you can tell in the commercial that everyone feels so close and so merry. The Shutterfly commercial takes on what is often the real truth. It shows piles of stuff and all these dark gray images of just things piled, including garage sales with all those tables with all the knickknacks and weird, bizarre stuff that just is covering them. And the voiceover is talking about the meaninglessness of stuff. It then shows pictures of people with forced smiles holding up some gift they clearly do not want. This year, the commercial goes on, give something with meaning. And, of course, it is Shutterfly gifts adorned with photos. And, of course, there's, again, lots of smiles and connection between people. Well, a lot of times we never get to the smiles and connection part of that story, even if we did buy those Shutterfly gifts. Even so, even with that truth, giving presents is such a huge, huge part of the holiday season. 4 out of 5 Americans plan to purchase presents this year, even though half of them will feel financial stress from the tradition, and 74% will put those purchases on credit. And while we want to give for love and for affection and connection, it can be really hard to do. And so often our gifts are out of obligation or expectation. Many of us have complicated histories with holiday gift giving. The whole tradition is full of complex layers of social obligation, desire, disappointment, appreciation, and expectation. I certainly have a complicated history. Giving presents at Christmas was very important in my family growing up. My brother and I made gifts, and I do not mean toilet roll, Santas, or popcorn balls. One year in elementary school, I gave all the people on my Christmas list, my grandparents and aunts, macrame plant hangers. It was the 1970s, after all. Another year, I was really into the Little House on the Prairie books, so I made everyone aprons and sunbonnets. Another year, I made cutting boards out of walnut and oak. My father helped cut the wood and laminating the alternating strips with glue, and I then had the long, tedious project of planing out that wood, sanding, and finishing them. My family was equally good at giving presents. During my Laura Ingalls Wilder years, I got 3 sets of the books for Christmas. In third grade, my great desire was an encyclopedia, and I got it. I know, yeah. As I moved into adulthood, I wanted to show love for my family through gifts the way we always had. I had learned from my family that gifts should be homemade and that they should let the other person know that they were seen. But how could I really do that? I no longer had the hours of time to make extraordinary things. I did not see most people on my gift list often enough to know what would be the perfect present. I had very little money. And most of the people on my list did. If they wanted something, they bought it. So Christmas would come, and I would once again give handmade jam or candles or soap and feel guilty. It felt like these things did not meet my standards. With all my years of struggle and conflict over choosing perfect gifts, I still really do like so many parts of the tradition. I love really focusing on someone and attending to their life and what they really might enjoy. There are times when I actually am successful and give that perfect gift, or I receive the perfect gift, and there is that moment of connection and the feeling of love, and it is so rewarding. Then there are other times where it feels like trading things people don't really want or need. What most people really do want during the holidays is not a new set of pot holders or a candle or a new t-shirt, but presents. They want the nothing that Mooch offers Earl in this morning's story, just each other. But how do we get there? Presence is the act of attention. We are present when we are fully attentive. If we are both fully attentive and have positive feelings like love, caring, gratitude, compassion, it can create warm feelings of calm, healing, and belonging, which leads to the ability to relax and to be flexible. We are all connected energetically and biologically, as is absolutely necessary in a species that cannot survive alone, after all. We mirror each other as we interact. They know that from neuroscience. And our emotions are catching. Joyful people help others be joyful. Anxious, sad, depressed people bring on anxious, sad, depression in others. And we are socially interconnected at the level of ourselves. And that's not anything very woo-woo. That's just true. They studied this at the Walter Army Institute of Research and discovered people emit more infrared radiation from their hands when they are meditating, or in other words, paying attention. Those that instead counted backwards from 100, which does cause concentration, but is different than intention, did not produce those infrared energy from their hands. And it turns out if the meditators focused on feeling love and care in addition to meditating, they emitted more of these red radiation from their hands. So then the researchers had the meditators put their hands around test tubes of immune cells. When they did this, the immune cells actually became stronger. They radiated more energy and were more resilient than when they were shocked with either chemicals or heat. And that is possibly the reason why people feel better physically and emotionally after positive, caring touch, or why practices like Reiki can really help people heal. Being present to others can come in many forms, but one of the most profound forms is listening. At WOOF, we talk a lot about listening. And we practice listening in chalice circles and in our men's and women's groups. And this helps build community, which is very important. But it's also an essential spiritual skill and practice, particularly for Unitarian Universalists who center love and believe that connection with others is necessary to create a better world. Listening attentively to another person and attempting to understand their reality and perceptions and values is an act of presence. It is rare to be fully listened to in American society. Instead, when people are talking, most of us are thinking about what we will say next, jumping in when we can, battling to be heard and to show the most illustrative examples of what's being talked about or being able to share some story from our life. A conversation can sometimes feel like children jumping up and down and saying, "See me, see me," rather than a time of active listening, learning, and sharing. Being actively listened to makes us feel good and seen and loved and allows that important brain plasticity, important for transformation and change. Neuroscientists have discovered that being actively listened to stimulates the reward center in our brains and also improves our cognitive resilience and counters decreases in cognitive decline. Presence doesn't only mean listening, though. Presence can mean just being with someone else. Parker Palmer, spiritual writer and teacher, wisely wrote, "The human soul doesn't want to be advised or fixed or saved. It simply wants to be witnessed, to be seen, heard, and companioned exactly as it is." This can be particularly true when people are suffering or grieving. It is difficult to experience anyone going through hard times because we so want to make their pain stop. But the truth is, we can't fix most emotional pain. People have to go through a process to find their way through their suffering and create new meaning. Telling people it will be okay or they will get through it isn't usually very helpful. In fact, when I'm really suffering or struggling and people say things like, "It will be okay," or "You will be stronger someday," or here's my favorite, "This will make you a better minister," it makes me want to scream. Because in the moment, none of that feels true at all. But being with people, just being, not necessarily speaking, but perhaps offering tea, or giving hugs, or taking walks, or offering to care for whatever is seeming overwhelming for that person in the moment, makes that pain easier to bear. It gives a person who is struggling a safe, caring space to feel the feelings that are so necessary to healing. And in that held space, it makes you feel like you're not quite as going to fall apart as much as you thought you might. The Reverend Kathleen Matigue relates this story about an act of presence she witnessed at the grocery store. "The woman who works behind the counter always looks glad to be there, doing what she's doing, and she often knows her customers by name. Last week, there was at least a half a dozen people waiting in line to be served. But she still lingered with an old man at the counter who already had his soup and bread in a paper bag. She asked after his health and then asked about his wife. She commiserated with him when he told her about their illnesses. When she said goodbye, she touched his hand lightly and smiled into his face and told him she'd look for him tomorrow. Watching her at work, it's easy to believe that some small corner of the world's fabric is being patiently, lovingly stitched back together, and that something more gets carried out the door than a bag of bread and warm soup." I believe that presence can stitch the world's fabric back together. Deep listening, I-thou relationships, quietness together helps us feel loved, transforms us, and prepares us for the challenge of life. Which returns me to the holidays. At their best, holidays that ask us to gather together with people we love and care for have the power to stitch portions of the world's fabric back together. Just that little place, that little moment, those people, those brokenheartedness. At the holidays, we are given opportunities to consider what is holy and what is spirit-filled in our lives. We sing together. We share stories, traditions, and customs. They give us a chance to be present, allowing presence to weave people together, bolstering hearts for the journey. Sometimes that means giving presents or making a friend their favorite cookies. Other times it is listening to Uncle Joe tell his war stories for the 545th time. Or, as I did this weekend, reading a toddler Max's Christmas for the 10th or 12th time. It could just be being quiet with our parents or our children with no screens in sight, or paying attention to someone who is having a particularly lonely or difficult time. We might consider this year, instead of seeking the perfect present, giving the people that you care about some presents. A little bit of that hard-to-find nothing this holiday season. So let us all flow together in the dance of life by singing our final hymn, number 311, Let It Be a Dance.
Let it be a dance we do. May I have this dance with you. Through the good times and the bad times too. Let it be a dance. Let a dancing song be heard. Play the music, say the words. And fill the sky with sailing birds. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Learn to follow, learn to lead. Feel the rhythm, fill the need. To reap the harvest, plant the seed. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance we do. May I have this dance with you. Through the good times and the bad times too. Let it be a dance. Everybody turn and spin. Let your body learn to bend, and like a willow with the wind, let it be a dance, let it be a dance, let it be a dance. A child is born, the old must die, a time for joy, a time to cry. Take it as it passes by. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance we do. May I have this dance with you. Through the good times and the bad times too. Let it be a dance. Morning star comes out at night. Without the dark there is no light. If nothing's wrong, then nothing's right. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Let the sunshine, let it rain. Share the laughter, bear the pain. And round we go again. Let it be a dance.